Throughout our lives, there are all kinds of events that we look forward to with anticipation and joy. The bride and the groom look forward to their wedding day. The young child looks ahead to their birthday with excitement. The student longs for the final day of school to finally arrive. And as we look ahead to all of these days with anticipation and joy, well, all of the days leading up to it can just seem bland, dull, and boring, so much so that we just want these days to quickly pass by so that we can get to the joyous day or event. Well, Paul, in the verses before us this morning, speaks to us as believers, telling us that as believers, we get to look forward to a future day, a future time with anticipation and joy, and this really impacts how we view the present. Now, so far in Paul's letter to the Romans, he has made it abundantly clear that through the work of Christ, we have been justified. That is, we have been declared innocent of all of our sins by God himself. And having made this clear, Paul now invites the Romans and us to see all of the amazing blessings that this produces in our lives. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through God's declaration that we are innocent through the work of Christ, we first and foremost have peace. And the peace Paul speaks about isn't that feeling of contentment or the absence of conflict in our lives. No, the peace Paul speaks about has an objective reality. And that reality being that we as believers are at peace with God. And in addition to peace, he also says that we have obtained access in which we stand. We as believers are free to come before God's throne of grace and mercy with confidence with any and every petition, knowing that our Heavenly Father is going to listen to and answer each and every single one of them. And these blessings are just the beginning. Because our justification that has been won for us through the work of Christ is also leading to the greatest blessing of all in the future. Rejoice confidently on the basis of our hope for the glory of God. That as we look ahead to the future, we have hope that the day is coming. We will experience the glory of God in heaven. A time when we will no longer face or feel the effects of sin. A time when we will live in constant and never-ending joy in the presence of God. And knowing that this is what the future holds for us as God's believers, his dearly beloved children. I mean, doesn't this fill us with a sense of anticipation and joy? But does knowing that this is what the future holds for us maybe also lead us to wonder if there's really all that much to rejoice in here, now, and today, in this present time. But you see, Paul, knowing that many could feel this way, knowing of their future glory in heaven, goes on to explain that we can rejoice in this present time. But his reason for saying so maybe isn't what you think it would be. That we not only rejoice in this, our future glory in heaven that has been won for us through the work of Christ, but we also rejoice confidently in our sufferings. You heard Paul correctly. He is telling us that in this present time, we are to rejoice in the hardships we face, the sufferings, which includes a wide variety of things. It's anything that weighs us down in this life and that afflicts us. He's telling you to rejoice in the health, the financial, the relationship problems that give you a vast amount of anxiety here in this present time. He's telling you to rejoice in the sufferings and the persecutions you face that come as a direct result of your faith. I mean, this is what Paul is telling you to rejoice in here, now, and today. And as you look at your life, have you rejoiced in your sufferings and crosses as Paul says to? Or have you maybe responded to them in a similar way that Peter did in our gospel reading for today? Where Jesus was explaining to his disciples, telling them both the necessity of his cross and theirs. And in response, Peter decided to rebuke Jesus, thinking that surely Jesus nor the disciple should ever have to endure any of these things. And the reason Peter was thinking this way is because he was thinking from a very earthly perspective. You see, in his mind, anything that caused suffering, pain, or hardship was seen as bad and was therefore something that should be completely avoided and was something in his mind that God should keep Jesus from having to experience and something that God should keep all of his believers from having to experience too. And really, with these words, Peter showed that what he wanted here, now, and today was heaven on earth. Peter showed that he wanted the joys and blessings of heaven right here and right now. Like Peter, haven't we too at times seen these own thoughts and feelings in our own hearts and lives? I mean, maybe we've felt that the crosses and the sufferings we experience in this world are awful things. And maybe we've more so seen them as reasons to despair rather than rejoice. And maybe the sufferings and crosses we've experienced in this life have even led us to question God. I mean, can I really trust that God's plan is what's best for my life and that God truly loves me if he's going to allow me to suffer or experience? You can fill in the blank. Like Peter, we too can be tempted to have a desire to have heaven right here and right now, desiring for God to take away all the trials, hardships, and sufferings, thinking that then we would have reason to rejoice in this present time because then we would be living in comfort and peace. But you see, it's this very thinking that Jesus rebuked Peter for having in our gospel reading for today. And it's this very thinking that Paul is correcting in the verses before us this morning. So let's confess that like Peter, we too have a desire to have heaven on earth. We too have a desire to have all the joys and blessings of heaven right here and right now. And we too, at times, have despaired in our crosses and sufferings rather than rejoiced in them. But as we confess this, listen to Paul with hearts of faith as he explains to us what God's purpose is in the crosses he allows in our lives. And as we hear him explain this to us, let's see why they truly give us reason to rejoice. Paul says we rejoice confidently in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces patient endurance, and patient endurance produces tested character, and tested character produces hope. The crosses and sufferings God allows in our lives produces endurance. That is, it equips us to stand firm in the face of adversity and trials. And this endurance then produces tested character. And this is speaking about how as we endure crosses and sufferings in our lives, it leads us to grow and mature in our faith. And this tested character then produces hope. Not some wishful hope that things will turn out okay in the end. No, a sure and a certain hope. And hope, Paul speaks about, is really a hope that trusts and believes in Christ as one's Savior from sin. And this hope, Paul continues, will not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And through the Holy Spirit working through the gospel message, God himself has poured his love into our hearts to bring us to a knowledge of his love shown to us through the work of Christ, working in us a faith that confidently trusts in God's love for us, and a faith that rejoices at the sufferings he sends into our lives because we know that God is using these present sufferings to keep us on our path that is leading to our future eternal glory in heaven. This is why Paul tells us to rejoice in sufferings, because the hope worked into our hearts by the Holy Spirit and strengthened by suffering will never put us to shame. But how can this Spirit-worked hope be so confident, firm, and strong? Well, it's because our Spirit-worked hope and faith not only leads us to see the purpose behind the crosses that we face in our lives. More importantly, it leads us to see the importance and necessity of the cross that Christ has experienced for us. For at the appointed time, while we were still helpless, Christ died for the ungodly. It is rare indeed that someone will die for a righteous person. Perhaps someone might actually go so far as to die for a person who has been good to him. But God shows his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Helpless, ungodly, sinners. This is what we are by nature. We come into this world not simply with the absence of some strength. No, we come by nature actively opposed to God and His will, with the inability to do anything on our own to change our spiritual condition. And the depth of God's love can only be fully understood if we first recognize that truth. Because we then see that God's love isn't contingent on anything in us. There is nothing good in us. Nothing that made us deserving of God's love shown to us. No, God's love shown to us was something that He caused in of Himself because He is a gracious and loving God. And God's love isn't just some feeling or disposition that He feels towards us. His love spurred Him on to action. God's love is what led Him in the moment of our greatest need at the appointed time to send His Son to die on behalf of all sinners. And He sent His Son, who served as the substitute for mankind, to live the perfect life that we never could, so that He could go to the cross, take on the sins of the world upon Himself, and shed His holy and precious blood to win you the forgiveness of all of your sins and to grant you a place in God's eternal kingdom in heaven. That it is the cross of Christ that has led to your justification. It is the cross of Christ that brings you the priceless blessings of peace, joy, forgiveness, and hope, here, now, and today, in the midst of the sufferings of this world. And your justification won through the cross of Christ is what gives you that certain hope for a glorious future, even as you endure crosses in the present. And since we have been justified by Christ's blood, it is even more certain that we will be saved from God's wrath through Him. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, it is even more certain that since we have been reconciled, we will be saved by His life. Here Paul pours on comfort, telling us that as we await this final day, we know that Christ's blood shed for us declares us righteous in God's sight and assures us that we are going to be saved from His coming wrath on the final day. And Paul also tells us that if God reconciled us to Himself, restored our relationship while we were His enemies, well, we can then know that now as His dearly beloved children through faith, that we will be saved by Christ's resurrection. And Paul, upon showing the beauty and importance both of the crosses that we face in life and also of the cross that Christ endured for us, Paul concludes, not only is this so, not only can we rejoice in our future eternal glory through the cross that Christ endured for us, but we also rejoice confidently in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received reconciliation. That our entire lives, both present and future, are filled with joy. Because having been justified by God means that no matter how intense the sufferings may be that we experience in this life, they don't diminish our joy in the present, because we can see them for what they truly are. Blessings that God uses to focus our eyes on the cross of Christ and to keep us on the path leading to our future eternal glory in heaven. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.